This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I hope wherever you find yourself this morning, you will know that Jesus sees you and he wants to speak to you. And if you don't know Jesus, I hope you will hear his heart of love for you, no matter what your experience of his followers may have been. You see, last week we were reminded that God has entrusted us with much and considered how we will look after and steward it well. For us to steward things well, we need to have addressed our integrity. So if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles 29, here we read a story of King David realizing he has built a grand home for himself, but not a temple for God, despite being entrusted with great wealth and influence. David, realizing God plans to use his son Solomon to build the temple, decides he will get all the resources ready. And David and his people give so abundantly that David just bursts into praise of God's goodness, saying in 1 Chronicles 29:14-16, I hope you've had time to find it. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. And then in verse 17, King David acknowledges this. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. David and his people have been tested. They could have been given only a little. But as followers of God, believing that God gave them all things, integrity caused them to give generously back to him. You see, integrity pleases God. Does the use of our finances demonstrate our belief that it all belongs to him? And does the way we treat people reflect that we believe they are all of value to Jesus? Does our attitude reflect Jesus's likeness? And do we forgive as we have been forgiven? So this morning, let's consider what integrity is and why it pleases God, and how do we intentionally build it into our lives? The definition of integrity is this. It is the quality and practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising commitment to act on strong moral and ethical principles and values. Integrity insists in honesty and truthfulness of our actions alongside what we say we believe. Integrity opposes hypocrisy and involves monitoring our own internal consistency. The word integrity evolved from the Latin adjective integer, meaning whole or complete. And in this context, integrity is the inner sense of our wholeness, deriving from honesty and consistency of character. So we can measure our integrity by the extent to the way we act according to the values, beliefs, and principles we claim to hold. We may expect people to speak kindly and gently to one another, but then we blow our stack at the driver who just cut us up on the road. Our actions in private demonstrate our lack of integrity. The standard we insist for others is excused in our own context. But integrity requires consistency of action on our part. The Bible interchanges the word integrity with blameless, without reproach, righteousness, having a clean heart, being truthful and honest in the way we live our lives. Many Bible verses explain why integrity is important to God. They say integrity draws and increases God's presence. It opens God's ears wider to our prayers. It protects us. It guides us. It creates good reputation, trust, and favor with others, causing them to follow us. It brings influence and honor. It delivers us and covers our sin. You see, this captivates me. You see, I really want the presence of Jesus in my life, and I want to hear Holy Spirit more clearly and frequently, and I want his peace to grow within me. So I need to address my integrity. It's not to impress others, but to be seen by God. The primary reason I'm seeking to grow in integrity is because I want my relationship with Jesus to grow stronger and more compatible. In my compromising, self-serving, sinful state, I recognize that while Jesus still looks upon me with his great love and feels compassion towards me, his heart breaks that I cling for less and compromise in preference to having him draw closer. To worship God in spirit and in truth, we need to attend to the secret places of our heart and let Holy Spirit come wash us clean and show us a better way. We need his help to get our faith and our deeds to align. The alignment will be directly proportional to how close we are to Jesus. Integrity before God covers our sin and it draws his attentiveness. So who we are in secret matters, even more than who we are in public. People, you see, might be deceived by our projections. We can earn reputations, titles, and influence, but our favour in relationship with God and our anointing will always be adversely affected. If we really want Jesus to come close to us, then who we are in secret matters. Recently, I found myself in a dilemma. I'd driven so little during lockdown, I seemed to forget that there were rules on the road to abide by. On a trip out, I was taken aback by a flash of a speed camera. You know, the expected happened and I duly received a letter from the police asking me to confirm that I was the driver speeding at that time and on that day. And I have to be honest, I was secretly more annoyed about being caught than having been driving too fast. And as I was completing the form, I was massively convicted by the question asking my job title. I didn't know what to write. Pastor? I didn't want to write it because it reflected badly my witness as a follower of Jesus. So then I considered maybe I could put foster carer or teacher and realised these were equally roles of trust and responsibility. And I have to say it was horrific. I just felt such like, what have I done? And I didn't know what to do. And I posed my dilemma to my husband, who helpfully said, "This is a test of your integrity, Liz. What will you do?" I did write pastor, but found myself having to go to Jesus to repent. And as I was saying sorry for being such a bad witness, Holy Spirit nudged me on my lack of integrity. I say I care for people's well-being and lives, but then was speeding as I processed in my prayers. The Holy Spirit nudged me again. "Why were you speeding, Liz?" "Because I was late for the appointment. You see, I say I care about overworked doctors and nurses and I value people's time, but I did not steward my time to ensure that I had plenty of time to get there for my appointment. I was lacking in integrity." You see, I'm aware that lots of research highlights people are put off by Jesus because they hate the hypocrisy of his followers. And I don't want to be a person giving a false representation of Jesus. Matthew 5:13-16. It's a really familiar verse. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything. You are the light of the world. People don't put it under a bowl. Don't put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." If we want to see others come to know Jesus through us, then we need to address our integrity. We have been entrusted with the spread of the good news. If we look after our integrity, then we will season people's lives with goodness and shine light where others are stumbling. But more often, rather than making lives around us more palatable and illuminated, we judge and criticize others' failings, shrinking their confidence and covering them with shame, while all the time misrepresenting our identity as children of God. Jesus warned about judging others in Matthew 7. 1-5. He said, "Do not judge, for the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Why do you look for the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus is speaking about our integrity. We must address our own failings before we can clearly see to help others. A friend of mine once said, if we observe someone doing something we don't like, then use it as an opportunity for your own personal growth. As we pray for them, we seek the Holy Spirit to show where this thing we don't like exists in us. If they are angry and impatient, it could be Jesus wants to talk to us about being angry and impatient with an employee. Or if we are horrified by theft, Jesus may want to speak gently to us about our undeclared income to the Inland Revenue. Or if we grumble about students littering the park, Jesus may remind us of when we left cups, papers, and pens strewn in a pew for others to clear. The best way to look after our integrity is to ask Holy Spirit to shine light on what he wants to address in us. We can also use our trusted friends to flag our blind spots where they see the inconsistencies within us. We can use the Bible as a plumb line to see if we are living in line to a follower of Jesus. And we can use others as mirrors to invite that self-reflection and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. And then we ask for his help to walk a truer line of matched faith and deeds. So to end, let's look after our integrity. And in doing so, we will be able to steward what God has given us well. We will look after our relationship with Jesus. We will look after spreading the good news. And we will be a people full of light, reflecting Jesus' pure heart of love to a hurting world. So, Father, I just thank you. Thank you. We ask, Jesus, that you highlight those inconsistencies within us, that we might come closer to you and align ourselves with you. And this morning, I just pray for anyone who has been put off following you because of your followers. May they look afresh at you, Jesus. And may they encounter you as their saviour and their friend who draws them and loves them. Amen.